ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, Text 8.
Asam Muhurte Ekasmin Nana Agareshu Yoshitam सविधं जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। आसामुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। आसामुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। आसामुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। गृहे पाणीन स्वमायया। एकस्मिन् गारेषु योषिताम् जगृहे पाणीन अनुरूपः स्वमायया। समुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् धम् जगृहे पाणीन् अनुरूपः स्वमायया आसमुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन् अनुरूपः स्वमायया
माताजी सनिवान्
आसमुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन् अनुरूपः स्वमायया आसामुहूर्त एकस्मिन् नानागारेषु योषिताम् सविधं जगृहे पाणीन् अनुरूपः स्वमायया
आसाम् ऑल दोज मुहूर्ते एट वन टाइम एकस्मिन् साइमल्टेनियसली नाना आगारेषु इन डिफरेंट कंपार्टमेंट्स योषिताम् ऑफ द विमेन सविधम् विद परफेक्ट रिचुअल्स जगृहे एक्सेप्टेड पाणीन हैंड्स अनुरूपः एक्जैक्टली टू मैच स्वमायया बाय हिज इंटरनल पोटेंसी ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन ऑल दोज प्रिंसेसेस हु वर लॉज्ड इन डिफरेंट अपार्टमेंट्स एंड द लॉर्ड साइमल्टेनियसली अज्यूम्ड different bodily expansions exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 33, the Lord is described as follows in regard to his innumerable plenary expansions.
अद्वैतमच्युतमनादिमनन्तरूपम् आद्यं पुराणपुरुषं नवयौवनं च वेदेषु दुर्लभमदुर्लभमात्मभक्तौ गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि
द लॉर्ड गोविन्द हुम आई वर्शिप इज द ओरिजिनल पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड He is none different from his innumerable plenary expansions, who are all infallible, original, and unlimited, and who have eternal forms. Although he is primeval, the oldest personality, he is always fresh and young. Unquote. By his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities of Swayam Prakash and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms and all of them are non-different from one another. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhava Vilas forms of the Lord and are effected by His internal potency, Yogamaya. Kindly repeat the translation. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions. Exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by His internal potency.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Roop Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So in Uddhava's narration, Krishna has just rescued the thousands of princesses who were kidnapped and imprisoned by Narakasura. And now the scene shifts to Dwarka. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that after killing Narakasura and the other demons, when Krishna entered the royal palaces, and he entered into all the different apartments into which these princesses were housed, all these princesses saw Krishna and immediately became very enchanted the moment he walked in. And they all considered it that it is only by destiny that this most extraordinary personality has walked into our lives at this time. And each and every one of them began praying that by the will of providence, may this person become our husband. All of them prayed in that way, and of course Krishna accepted their prayer. He dealt with them in a very respectful way. He had them arrayed in very wonderful clothing, and in great pomp and splendor he had them sent to Dwarka in the finest of chariots and with all kinds of wealth and opulence. He also sent about 64 white elephants, with 4 tusks, and all of them were descendants of Airavata. Airavata is the elephant of Indra, the king of heaven. So once all these 16,000 princesses were dispatched to Dwarka, Krishna had some little duty to perform before he could go and marry the princesses. He had to return those things that had been stolen by Narakasura from the heavenly planets. The earrings of Mother Aditi, the umbrella of Varuna, and so on. So he took those things which had been returned to him by Bhumi Devi on behalf of Narakasura. Bhumi Devi, or Mother Earth, is the mother of Narakasura. So the Lord went along with Satyabhama to the heavenly planet. He returned the paraphernalia to the respective owners. And incidentally, he also uprooted the Parijat tree at the request of Satyabhama and returned to Dwarka. And in Dwarka, then, he had the marriage ceremony, which is now being described in this verse. And here, it is said, Asam, all those, that is each and every one of those princesses, Muhurta ekasmin. Muhurta means at the auspicious time or at one time. ekasmin, that is all at one time, simultaneously. Nana agareshu, they were all situated in different residences. Yoshitam, savidham jagrihe panin. Savidham means in exactly the proper way, with all the proper rituals and everything. Jagrihe panin, jagrihe means to accept, panin means the hands. Like Krishna is called chakrapani, because he holds the chakra, the disc in his hand. So the word pani means hand. So Krishna accepted the hands of each of these princesses in marriage, in each of their respective residences, nana agareshu, anurupah svamayaya. And for this purpose, he accepted a form that was exactly suitable for each princess. Very astonishing. And in this way, Krishna was married. The grand wedding ceremony of Krishna with these princesses took place. Also, we note here, svamayaya, that all this happened by his internal potency. Also, there is a similar verse in the 10th canto. When Shukadeva Goswami is describing this episode in detail, Aho muhurta ekasmin nana gareshu tahstriyah yathopayeme bhagavan tavad rupad dharo vyayaha. More or less the same thing. But the first line, first two lines are practically the same. Aho muhurta ekasmin nana gareshu tahstriyah. And then he uses the word yatha upayeme bhagavan. Upayeme means he got married. Yatha means suitably, in exactly the proper way. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on the word yatha, that getting married in exactly the appropriate way or the proper way means that all of Krishna's relatives were also present there. You know, traditionally when a wedding takes place, then it's a grand festival and celebrations and all the relatives gather from different places. So here also Krishna had so many relatives, the entire Yadu dynasty. And all these relatives were present at the wedding. Now there is a question here. Krishna didn't have one wedding. He had 16,108 weddings. Now incidentally, it is explained in the Puranas that it was not 16,000 but 16,100 princesses who were actually imprisoned. And further it is explained in the Vishnu Puran that these were all not ordinary princesses. Of course, they were all from a royal family, therefore they were called princesses. But some of them were daughters of kings, some of them were daughters of the demigods, some were daughters of the siddhas, some were daughters of asuras. So all from different planets. And they were exceptionally qualified, otherwise how could they get Krishna as their husband? So all these 16,100 princesses were now being simultaneously married. Now totally we know that Krishna has 16,108 queens. So at this time Krishna had already married 8 queens. And now the wedding ceremony for the remaining few, 16,100, was going on. So let's have a little quiz. Who were the first 8 queens of Krishna? There is Rukmini Devi. There is Jambavati, who was the daughter of Jambavan. The third is Satyabhama, the daughter of Satrajit. The next was Kalindi. Then there was Mitravinda. There was Nagnajiti. There was Bhadra. And there was Lakshmana. Right? That's 8? Correct? That's 8. So Krishna had already married these 8 queens. And now the wedding ceremony was going on and Krishna was marrying each of the remaining 16,100 princesses in their separate residences, all at the same time.
So it's hard enough to be in one wedding ceremony for those who have experienced it. But 16,100 wedding ceremonies going on at the same time. And Sridhar Swami comments that the word yatha means that not only was Krishna present alone, the entire company of all his relatives was present at each and every palace and each and every wedding. So it wasn't that it was Krishna alone who expanded himself, but it appears from Sridhar Swami's commentary that even Devaki and all the relatives of Krishna also had expanded to enter every palace so they could attend every wedding. Now this is really astonishing. But actually for Krishna, what can be astonishing? What is difficult for Krishna to accomplish? So this is the meaning of God. Shukadev Goswami in his narration in the 10th canto uses the phrase atarkakrit to describe Krishna. Tarka means logic or conception. Atarka means that which is beyond logic. And krit means one who performs. So Krishna is known as one who performs acts which are beyond logic. Logically, one cannot explain how one person can be in 16,100 places at the same time. It's not possible. Nor can one explain how all the relatives were also simultaneously present in each of these palaces at the same time. So therefore Krishna has been addressed by Shukadev Goswami as Atarka Krit. Actually all these queens, it has been explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and this is explained in the purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were not ordinary living entities. They are all gopis actually. And he says, quoting from the various Puranas, that just as the Lord of Dwarka, Dwarkadhish, Vasudev, is an expansion of the supremely complete fountainhead, Krishna of Vrindavan, similarly, all these queens, the Raja Mahishis of Dwarka, are actually expansions of the supremely complete pleasure potencies of the Lord in Vrindavan. In other words, the gopis. So all these queens are expansions of the gopis. And therefore in the Padma Purana it is said that those who were gopakanyas, those maidens who were in Vrindavan in their Kaishora age, now became queens in Dwarka in their maturity, in their Yovan age. What this means is that actually these queens were expansions of the gopis of Vrindavan. So now having described Krishna's different wedding ceremonies going on, later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Shukadev Goswami also describes how Narad Muni wanted to see this phenomenon. He wanted to understand how Krishna has actually married so many different princesses. And he came to Dwaraka. He first entered into the palace where Krishna was with Rukmini. Krishna was very pleased to see him. He welcomed him very nicely with great respect. He washed his feet and he sprinkled the water, the Charanamrita of Narad Muni, upon his own head. And this is indeed astonishing because Krishna's lotus feet sanctify everything. The Ganges water, which is considered to be very pure and holy and which purifies everything in the creation, actually acquires its property because of its contact with the lotus feet of the Lord. But now that very same Supreme Lord, who is called Tirthapad, at whose feet all the holy places reside, that very same Lord was now sprinkling the water from the lotus feet of Narad Muni on his own head. And he welcomed him, he spoke many sweet words to him, and then says, "It is my great fortune, my dear Narad Muni, that you are here. Householders like us are blessed to have great saintly personalities like you visiting our homes. So please tell me, what service can I do for you? And Narad Muni was extremely astonished to see this behavior of Krishna. And he was so stunned that he allowed his own feet to be washed by Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains later that Krishna pacified Narad Muni, that Narad Muni, don't feel that you have offended me by actually letting me wash your lotus feet. It's not an offense, because I am doing this to show an example to the rest of the world about how they should respect saintly people, pure devotees of mine. So therefore, your act of allowing me to wash your feet is as per my desire. So you have not committed any offense, don't worry. Because Narad Muni seemed a little morose, he was so stunned by this whole situation there. So Krishna somehow wanted to pacify him. And then Narad Muni didn't say anything, he didn't say the real purpose for why he had come. He just glorified Krishna and then went on to the next palace. And here Krishna was with another queen. And when he saw Narad Muni coming in, he immediately welcomed him. Oh, Narad Muni, when did you come to Dwarka? As if he had not met him in the earlier palace. As if he had never seen him. As if this was the first time he was welcoming Narad Muni. And Narad Muni was too stunned to reply. He just kept quiet. He didn't utter a word. And Krishna went through the motions of welcoming him, respecting him. And quietly Narad Muni just walked out. He went to the next palace and the next palace, and he went to each of the 16,108 palaces. And in each of these palaces, he saw that Krishna was engaged in completely different activities. Somewhere he was giving charity to the Brahmanas. Somewhere he was practicing sword fighting. Somewhere he was playing chess with his queen. Somewhere he was performing some yajnas. Somewhere he was chanting the Gayatri Mantra. Somewhere he was relaxing and joking with his queen. Somewhere he was playing with his children. Somewhere he was giving his grown-up children in marriage to suitable brides and bridegrooms. In this way, in each of these different palaces, Krishna was engaged in different activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the different activities that Krishna, that Narad Muni saw, were all those that were performed or to be performed at different times of the day. Like some activities like chanting the Gayatri Mantra is supposed to be done at the Sandhya time, or taking bath is supposed to be done early in the morning and then again at the Sandhya. The sword fighting is to be done at a certain time. Giving charity to the Brahmanas is to be done at noontime. So in this way, Krishna was performing all these variegated duties that a householder and a kshatriya should perform. And Narad Muni saw this and he was amazed. He was astounded. And he understood how Krishna had actually expanded himself in the most wonderful way. It is also explained that these different forms are called the Prakash forms, the manifestations. Srila Prabhupada explains here in his purport that by his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities of Swayam Prakash and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms, and all of them are non-different from one another. Of course, the same subject is discussed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. It's a little complicated, the classification of the different forms, but very briefly I would like to just outline. I made a brief chart, but I didn't have time to keep it up on the board. But this chart shows, actually based on the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, the different forms that Krishna takes. Mahaprabhu begins by explaining that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exists in three principal forms. One is called the Swayam Rupa. Swayam Rupa means his personal, original form. The second is called the Tad Ekatma Rupa. The Tad Ekatma Rupa is a form that is identical with the Swayam Rupa, but there is some slight difference in bodily features and activities. And then there is the Avesh Rupa. Avesh Rupa is basically a Jivatma who has been suitably empowered by the Lord to perform certain extraordinary functions. But essentially now here we are concerned with Swayam Rupa and to some extent Tad Ekatma Rupa. So this Swayam Rupa, Krishna explains, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, is the original form of Krishna. Original form means that it is not dependent on any other form. This is how Srila Rupa Goswami has commented on this. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from Srila Rupa Goswami's commentary. Ananyapekshi yad rupam swayam rupah sa uchyate. The form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that does not depend on other forms is called the Swayam Rupa or the original form. This form is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So this Swayam Rupa, the original form of Krishna, is that by which Krishna can be directly understood. And again, this Swayam Rupa is divided into two categories, again Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash. This second Swayam Rupa is the original personal form of Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. There is no higher form than this. This is the most original personal form of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord. And Swayam Prakash is another aspect of Swayam Rupa where Krishna manifests himself for the purpose of performing his different activities and pastimes. Of course, it's a little complicated and we cannot describe all these things here. It is more suitable for a classroom atmosphere where these things can be more easily understood. But Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that this Swayam Prakash, Prakash means a manifestation or expansion, it also has its two components, Prabhava and Vilas. Or Prabhava and Vaibhava. And the Prabhava examples, you can understand from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, are the expansions of Krishna in the Rasa Leela and in Dwarka along with his queens. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained that when Krishna was engaged in the Rasa Leela, there were thousands and thousands of gopis there. And Krishna appeared between two gopis. So between every two gopis there was one Krishna. In this way there was one Krishna with each gopi and every gopi thought that there was only one Krishna in the whole Rasa Leela arena. The gopis could not see that there were so many Krishnas. But the residents of the heavenly planets, especially the wives of the demigods and the demigods themselves who were watching from behind the clouds and they were witnessing this most amazing pastime, and they could see all the different forms of Krishna. All these are Prabhava Prakash. Prakash means expansions. So they could see these wonderful forms of Krishna. And at the same time, the queens of Dwarka also thought that Krishna was with them alone. They didn't realize that Krishna is simultaneously present with all the other 16,107 queens also. This is the astonishing feature of Krishna's expansions. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that these Prabhava Prakash forms are not like the expansions of the sage Saubhari and others. Had they been so, Narad Muni would not have been astonished to see them. And he refers to the time when Narad Muni came to Dwarka, which we have just described. So Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada explains in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, is an accomplished yogi himself. So he knows all the tricks of the trade. You know, Saubhari Muni was a great powerful mystic yogi. He performed austerities under the water in the Yamuna, not very far from here. And after long years of being in the Yamuna, somehow he saw two fish together and developed the desire to also associate with ladies. He came out, he approached the king, the undisputed emperor of the whole world of the seven islands, King Mandhata. And he proposed that he would like to marry the daughter, the princess, the daughter of the king. The king took one look at the old yogi, who was very disheveled because of being long years in the water. His skin had wrinkled, his body was old and infirm, his hair was grey. He was very ugly, having lived in the water. And he said, well, he couldn't say no because he was afraid that this Muni may curse him. And he couldn't say yes because how could he give his young beautiful daughters in marriage to this old ugly man who didn't seem to have any wealth even. So he tried to think of a diplomatic way out. And he said, well, you see, I have given my freedom, my daughter's freedom to choose their husband. So if they wish to have you as their husband, then I have no problem. Immediately, Saubhara Muni understood that the king didn't want this because of his ugly appearance. So he resolved that by his mystic power, he would transform himself into a very handsome young man. And he did so. And he returned to the palace. And he was immediately welcomed. And this time, not one, but all the 50 princesses, the daughters of King Mandhata, wanted to have this young man as their husband. Earlier, these 50 sisters were living together in a very nice sisterly relationship. But now that this Saubhari Muni in his young form came, they all started quarreling with each other that, no, he should be my husband. And finally, Saubhari Muni resolved this conflict by marrying all 50 of them. And he lived for many, many years. And eventually he understood the futility of sense enjoyment and material life. He remembered his old days of austerity and cursed himself and resolved that he would never again fall prey to the victim, fall prey to the senses and the sense objects. He renounced the world and he attained the ultimate destination. And so did his queens, his wives. So it is explained that Saubhari Muni, in order to be able to enjoy with his wives, he expanded himself into 8 or 9 forms, like the Ashtanga yogis do. The Ashtanga yogis, as a result of their practice, can have many siddhis, many extraordinary powers. And one of them is that they can expand themselves into 8 or 9 different forms. In one place it is mentioned that he expanded himself into 50 forms. But anyway, whether it is 8 or 9 or 50, the point is that they do expand themselves like this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we also hear of Kardama Muni expanding himself into 9 forms. So he was also a very powerful yogi. Both Saubhara Muni and Kardama Muni also created for the pleasure of their wives, respective wives, grand facilities of material opulence and enjoyment. Kardama Muni actually created a whole city, a flying city that traveled throughout the universe, full of all kinds of natural beauty and opulences. So these accomplished yogis could expand themselves into different parts. But Narad Muni is also not just a pure devotee, but he is also equally accomplished in all the yogic siddhis. So he was not impressed by all these things because he could do it himself. But when he saw Krishna's expansions in Dwarka, then he was really astonished. And this is the verse from the Bhagavatam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes. Chitram bataitad ekena vapusha yugapat prithak griheshu dvashta sahasram striya eka udavahat. It is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded himself in 16,000 similar forms
to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. And Mahaprabhu said that had there not been a feature about Krishna's expansions, then Narad Muni would not have been so astounded, because he was familiar with the art of yogic expansions. So what is the difference? The difference is, Srila Prabhupada explains again in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that when Saubhari Muni expanded himself into 8 or 9 forms, he was still one. And they were all very much dependent on that original form. But when Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 forms, each of these forms was a distinct individual. Each of these forms was independent, supremely, completely. Although they were one with the original Krishna, but still they had their individuality, and they could act in different ways, as we saw from Narad Muni's experience. He was performing different activities at the same time in different places. And he could also appear slightly different, as we see here in the purport. Prabhupada explains that with each of these queens, he appeared slightly different, just suitable to the mentality of that particular queen. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna's expansions are absolutely unique because he becomes an individual. He is not just a copy of the original, like it is when the yogis expand. He is not a photocopy or a Xerox copy, but he is actually an individual. And then Mahaprabhu says one thing very sweet here. Swayam Ruper Gopavesha Gopa Abhimana Vasudeva Kshatriya Vesha Ami Kshatriya Jnana. Swayam Ruper. So in his original form, Gopavesha, Krishna has the Gopavesha, the dress of a cowherd boy, and he also has Gopa Abhimana. He has a sense that I am a Gopa, I am a cowherd boy. He thinks himself to be a cowherd boy. Vasudevera Kshatriya Vesha Ami Kshatriya Jnana. But as Vasudev in Dwaraka, he wears the dress of a Kshatriya and thinks himself to be a Kshatriya. So this is part of the Swayam Rupa. And Srila Prabhupada explains again that this thinking of Krishna, that I am a cowherd boy, I am a Kshatriya, this is called Leela. This is pastime. So what exactly, we use the word pastime or Leela so often. We read it everywhere, Krishna Leela, the pastimes of Krishna. But what exactly is the meaning of Leela or pastime? When Krishna thinks in a certain way, that's called pastime. So he's thinking of himself as a cowherd boy. He's thinking of himself as a Kshatriya. So this is pastime. Because whatever Krishna thinks, he can become. So he actually becomes a cowherd boy, he becomes a Kshatriya, and he acts in that way, he dresses himself in that way. So in this way, the Swayam Rupa is divided again into Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash, and this Swayam Prakash is nothing but the expansion of that Swayam Rupa. Unlimited expansions. Both in the Rasalila and also in Dwarka as the husband of all these different gopis. These gopis or queens, they're actually the 16 potencies of Krishna. Krishna has unlimited potencies, but he had 16 major ones like Shri, Bhu, Nila and so on, many, many others. So the acharyas explain that Krishna is like the moon. The moon has 16 phases. Krishna has 16 potencies. So the 16 potencies are like the 16 phases of the moon. And all the gopis or the queens in Dwaraka, they can be divided into 16 categories, each representing these 16 potencies. And each of these categories has again 1,000 subdivisions. So that makes it about 16,000.
So all these Lakshmis, all these queens who were expansions of the gopis are actually potencies, the internal potencies of Krishna. Therefore the word Svamayaya here by his internal potency means that because the gopis or the queens of Dwarka also are his internal potencies, his relationship with them are completely on the spiritual platform. It is not to be confused with a mundane relationship between a man and woman in this world, which is on the platform of the external energy of the Lord, Mahamaya, and not on the internal potency. So this in fact is evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those with a poor fund of knowledge, those who don't have faith or understanding of spirituality, they criticize Krishna for having so many queens. But actually the devotees glorify Krishna for this, because this is only evidence of his opulence and his glory. After all, which ordinary person can marry 16,108 wives and keep all of them perfectly happy? So Srila Prabhupada says, this is proof that Krishna is God. So here Uddhav is remembering those days in Dwarka when Krishna accommodated each of his 16,108 queens in a separate palace. Each of these palaces was unrivaled, unexcelled in opulences, beauty and design and facilities. Everything was there in each of these palaces. There were more than 900,000 such palaces in Dwarka. And the palaces of these queens were, even in comparison to those other palaces, extraordinary. So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom Uddhav is now remembering so fondly. So we'll stop here now. Are there any questions or comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय